Momentarily we did. Then would come oblivion, the blackout, and the awful awakening to face the hideous four horsemen. Terror, bewilderment, frustration, despair. Yeah, I mean, that's absolute. Then the next line, unhappy drinkers who read this page will understand. Now, I did not know if I was an alcoholic, but I sure knew I was an unhappy drinker. And the page kind of made it possible for me to identify with the process of getting well. It was real important. Then the next day, now and then a serious drinker, being dry at the moment, says, I don't miss it at all. Feel better, work better, having a better time. What I find uncanny about that is I've used those exact same words. When I didn't drink, people noticed, because I had a bad habit of falling down a lot when drinking. My knees would give way. I couldn't trust them. So I'd be sober for 2 or 3 weeks, and people would come up and say, and it's on my own, thank you, by myself, me and God and willpower, and just not doing it forever. They'd come and say, Tom, how long has it been? And I'd say, I knew how long has it been? We knew what we were talking about. I said, oh, it's been 2 weeks now. And they'd say, no shit. I'm just stunned. Really? Then they'd say, what's it like? And I'd say, I don't miss it at all. Feel better, work better, having a better time. It then says, as ex-problem drinkers, we smile at such a sally. That means an attempt, for those of us who aren't Midwesterners, born in 1900 and whatever. We know our friend is like a boy whistling in the dark to keep up his spirits. See, when you're afraid, you whistle a happy tune. See, that's what they're referring to. He fools himself. Inwardly, he would give anything to take half a dozen drinks. Notice not one. And get away with them. See, that's the key. The getting away with it. It took me a while to realize. I mean, why don't I have a drink? No one's watching. Or I'm on it. Dr. Bob, this happened to. Bill Wilson himself 12-stepped him, and Bob got cured and went away to a convention and got real drunk, real fast. Half the early fellowship slipped. You know, this was real scary stuff. Half a dozen drinks. In November, I was going through a little stress. I was real hungry. And real angry, and real lonely, and real tired. On top of that, I was in the Denver airport, which is an awful place to be all four of those, I assure you. And I was, I don't feel feelings a lot all the time. I mean, I go through real periods of shutdown, but my fantasy life stays pretty active. And so if I can kind of tune into the fantasies, I know I can figure out what's going on. For instance, so I was sitting there, and I sat in the, there was a big smoking section, and I haven't had a cigarette in 8 or 9 years, but suddenly I looked over at this huge fat man sitting 2 chairs down from me, who was smoking nonstop, cigarettes without filters. And the only thing I wanted to do was crawl on his lap and eat his cigarettes. You'll be happy to know that the trick I've learned now in 11 and a half years is do this tomorrow. Don't do it now, Tom. All right, fine. Don't get into arguing the morality of the issue. You'll lose. Just put it off till tomorrow. So that kind of resolved. And then Then what happened? Oh, a few minutes passed, and then I said, you know, I'd like a brandy and soda. It wasn't a feeling, it was the fantasy of just going over to the bar, and they're very conveniently located in airports, to go over and have a brandy and soda, and my thought was, I'm in a foreign state. You know, this is Colorado. This doesn't count. See, I'd be able to get away with it. Because you aren't my sponsor, won't. I mean, it'll be my secret. My head still works like that. And again, you put it off to tomorrow. Let me see. No. Inwardly, he'd give anything to take half a dozen drinks and get away with them. A friend of mine, when we go out to dinner, the bar lady comes over and says, would you like a drink? And her first question is, how much you got? And they always say, oh, we've got a lot. We've got just, you know, Chablis and rosé and scotch and brandy and everything. And she says, well, if I do order a drink, I think you'd... She said, before I order the drink, you better call the police and paramedics now because you're going to be needing them. Some bar people lose their sense of humor again right around that point and make sure you don't have a drink, you know, for the rest of the evening. Anyway. He will presently try the old game again, for he isn't happy about his sobriety. He cannot picture life without alcohol. Yes, I can't. I couldn't imagine living without drinking. It was life to me. The only requirement for my membership in anything was booze there. Then I'd go. I've been to nice parties where they didn't serve booze, the Protestant parties. You know, that was always the danger of a Presbyterian wedding. They would not serve booze. And in my family, we, in addition to Lutherans, we have Presbyterians. And so whenever one of that side, whenever one of the Swedish Protestant side of the family was getting married, we always said, the Lutherans or the Presbyterians, you know, so we know if we'd go or not. priorities. Cannot picture life without alcohol. I was listening to someone who said he couldn't imagine giving up booze and dope and ever going to a Grateful Dead concert. I mean, the thought of going to a Grateful Dead concert straight paralyzed him. And someone else pointed out most of the Grateful Dead are on the program now. If, you know, they can be on the program, so can you! But, you know, what do you, I can't imagine functioning without booze and dope. Yes. Someday he will be unable to imagine life either with alcohol or without it. He will then know loneliness such as few do. Why the loneliness? Because we're convinced at that point that no one's ever been here before. That if I went in and told people that I cannot imagine life with alcohol or without it, we'd all say, you must be crazy. Instead, we elect them secretaries. you get to be treasurer. He will then know loneliness such as few do. He will be at the jumping off place. That's a San Francisco reference. He will wish for the end. And then it says right here, the nine words that I think, opinion, but I'm right, that I think tell about how the program works for a lot of us. It says, we have shown how we got out from under. Now, when I first went to Alcoholics Anonymous, I did not get preached at. And believe me, I've been preached at a lot by experts. Instead, women and men who should be dead talked about how they got out from under. They talked about what it was like and what happened and what it's like now. And you know, take what you need and leave the rest and keep coming back and 90 meetings in 90 days. And immersing myself in the experience of people, and I found out if you can get out from under, so can I. But it was that sharing. Chapter 11 goes on a little bit. Skip a page or two, and it says on the bottom of 153, years ago in 1935, this was 1939 it was written in, one of our number made a journey to a certain western city. That western city was Akron, Ohio. Who wrote this part of the book? A New Yorker, you know. Worse, a New Englander. Someone from Vermont named Bill. Interesting, both Bill and Bob are from that part of the country, you know. They had to get out of there to get sober, but they're from there. This is the Bill W. story. From a business standpoint, his trip came off badly. Had he been successful in his enterprise, he would have been set on his feet financially, which at the time seemed vitally important. Footnote, throughout all of Bill Wilson's life, he kept trying to get on his feet financially, and he never did. He never became a big financial success, and I'm thrilled by that. I trust that much, much more. But here, I bump into people who get into recovery and are convinced that if they're really doing it right, they should be pulling down $100,000 at the end of their first year. Unemployment has a long tradition in Alcoholics Anonymous. Like I say, there's Bill W., then there's Dr. Bob, who was the proctologist who shook a lot. He says, but his venture wound up in a lawsuit and bogged down completely. The proceeding was shot through with much hard feeling and controversy. Bitterly discouraged, and here he is at 6 months. Bitterly discouraged. Well, I bump in, when I was 6 months, I thought I should be feeling sensational. And I wasn't. At a year, I thought I should be feeling wonderful, and I wasn't. Bill has no one to talk to. Bill has nowhere to go. He's very isolated. He's not drinking, but he's not happy. Bitterly discouraged, he found himself in a strange place, discredited and almost broke. Still physically weak and sober, but a few months he saw that his predicament was dangerous. He wanted so much to talk with someone, but whom? One dismal afternoon, that's like on a dark and rainy night, you know. One dismal afternoon, he paced a hotel lobby wondering how his bill was going to be paid. Now, if he had a sponsor, his sponsor would have said, find work. But he didn't have a sponsor. It was just Bill and God. So there he is, pacing the hotel lobby, you know, having a wonderful time. At one end of the room stood a glass-covered directory of local churches. Down the lobby, a door opened into an attractive bar. Have you ever seen an unattractive bar? I have not. I love every one of them. There's just something magic about it, you know, especially if there was a knifing there recently. There's just something in the air. You know it's home, and there's going to be excitement and drama, and let's see who gets shot tonight. Love it.